You're listening to Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson, and I am here at the Museum of Modern Art visiting Yoko Ono, One Woman Show, 1960 to 1971. Oh, this is her famous piece that we're watching. It's a she did this piece where she sat on the stage in a Carnegie Hall recital room and with a pair of scissors and allowed spectators to come up and cut off a piece of her dress bit by bit under the gaze of and by, in some cases, men. It does really seem timeless and seems to have a lot of resonance in this current moment as we talk about the gaze of men and at women.
I was standing on the seventh floor.
I've got to admit, as I went to the museum last weekend, I was slightly skeptical. Yoko Ono's husband, John Lennon, used to call her the most famous artist you've never heard of. But once we had heard of her, thanks to him, we never really took her very seriously as an artist. The show at the Museum of Modern Art consists of her work from the 1960s and early 70s, when she was among the avant-gardiest of the avant-garde visual artists of that period. It fills an entire floor: videos, texts, audio, photographs, assemblages of ordinary objects that certainly back then most of us didn't think of as sculpture. In other words, she was doing as early as anybody what a large fraction of artists, performance artists, conceptual artists, installation artists, have been doing ever since, making art that comments on and subverts and expands the idea of what can be art.
And over there, I'm not sure what that is, but it's a film of somebody's buttocks and thighs walking in place, it seems, in close-up. Several boxes on the wall, and it says, please slide up carefully. So it's called Box of Smile, and I'm opening the cabinet. And there's a beautiful silver box, and a thing that says Self-Portrait by Yoko Ono, 1965, and it's below a little tiny mirror.
At the time, Yoko Ono's cutting-edge art comrades apparently considered her too optimistic and sweet, not hard-edged or alienated enough. As a kid back then, in junior high, I certainly didn't know what to make of her when she appeared on my radar as my favorite Beatles' wacky girlfriend. Nor did Kathy Kruth, a museum-goer I met at the show. She was visiting from Newport Beach, California.
Well, you know what? I never really considered her an artist. I grew up in the 60s, and I always thought she was a kook. What we knew is we blamed her for breaking up the Beatles, our favorite group. I mean, I was there in New York at Shea Stadium. I saw them.
Really?
Yes. When you see the screaming girls pulling their hair out, I assume that was one of me also. So just seeing her art here, I just have developed a huge amount of respect. She was very creative and very brilliant woman.
Before Yoko Ono ever became this complicated character in the complicated Beatles saga, she really was a remarkable, groundbreaking, way ahead of her time young artist in New York. And I want to apologize for not knowing that until now. By the way, back in 1971, as a conceptual art stunt, she announced that she had installed, uninvited, what she called her one-woman show at the Museum of Modern Art. It consisted of perfumed houseflies that she had released into the museum's sculpture garden. Now she's got this bona fide big deal show there at the museum, and its title is a fantastic 44 years later punchline. It's called Yoko Ono, One Woman Show. Of course, since then, she has doggedly experimented in a huge range of media and genres, including dance club music. Her songs, remixed by acts like the Pet Shop Boys and Flaming Lips, were at the top of Billboard dance charts a dozen times. I talked with Yoko Ono back in 2009 when she was only 75, and she and her son Sean Lennon had just released an album called Between My Head and the Sky. So, what was it like working with your son on this record?
Well, first of all, when he asked me to do it, I said, okay. And I just didn't have any, qualms about it. But then my friends were all saying, why did you do that? Don't do it. Don't do it. Mother and son, that's very bad, you know. Then I got nervous. But actually, my first instinct was right. It was very good.
On your website, which is called Imagine Peace, you wrote a lovely essay, actually, about making this record with Sean. And you describe something that happened while you were taking a nap in the studio. Can you tell that story?
And it was a very strange thing that happened because, you know, we take turns to sort of lie down on the couch, you know, because it's just a long night or something. So I was on the couch sort of closing my eyes. And then suddenly somebody put a coat on me, you know.
As a blanket.
As a blanket. And John used to do that when we were making Double Fantasy. So it's just in my sort of like sleepy head, you know. I wasn't sure whether, he said, well, that was John, but, and I just opened my eyes and it was Sean.
Which is,
which is amazing, exactly the same army surplus coat, but John's was a little bit softer and Sean's was a little bit harder, I think.
And he's now as old as John was when you got together, I guess.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about that. That's true. It's amazing.
Were there funny moments while you were working on this record?
Well, I mean, there were all sorts of moments. So what are you talking about?
Well, was it all serious business or did you become the mother and say, no, Sean, I don't want to do that?
Well, I try not to be too difficult.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a very difficult person.
Really?
Well, yeah. And then in terms of my work, you know, art, uh-huh. artwork and music work, I'm a perfectionist in a way. But this time I thought, no, I'm not going to be that control freak because, you know, I have to let him breathe too, you know, and try to be like Zen master or something, you know, one of those sort of, okay, I'm beyond that kind of thing. But, well, I got away with it.
The title track of the album, Between My Head and the Sky, is pretty rocking.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
But you see, I thought of that and I thought, good title.
Let's listen a little bit to that song.
Okay.
That's Yoko Ono's Between My Head and the Sky. As soon as that begins and you do your ululating thing that one instantly recognizes as Yoko Ono, it made me think, when did that become a sort of signature vocal thing of yours and why?
When I was when I was very little, I was sort of plunked in my mother's summer house or something. And there was a servant's quarter, and my mother said, never go to the servant's quarter because they'll be talking about something that you should not know. And, of course, you want to go there, you know, when somebody says that. So I sneaked up, and there were two young girls talking about my aunt just had a baby, and she was going, and it was really frightening. And I never forgot that sound. And I was thinking, well, you know, the male society is always sort of asking women to be pretty, young, and sweet. And the voice in the songs usually is very sweet, you know. But then I thought, but we're the ones who actually created a human race. I mean, without us, you won't be here. Excuse me.
Vice versa.
Well, not really.
Really? You can do it without us?
I think so.
Okay, well.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, I'm just talking about that.
But that's where that was the genesis of that.
Yeah, and I thought, I want to really break, the sound barrier to show that the woman has a strong voice too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if we didn't have a strong voice, I mean, we couldn't have created a human race.
Right. Your work keeps on influencing people. So artists like the B-52s, Sonic Youth, On this record of yours, you worked with these super cool Japanese musicians.
They're really super cool.
Yuka Honda and Cornelius.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, by the way, I just want to go back to it and say, no, I didn't mean that we don't need men. I think it's nice to have men around.
Good. I'm glad you've conceded that.
Okay.
Two very cutting-edge female musicians, Cat Power and Peaches, have done remixes of your songs. As that happens, does it make you think about the experience of a woman artist today, women of their age versus when you started out?
Well, you know, the thing is the women's plight, so to speak, is still there. And I go to all the different countries and they usually say, would you please come to the women's meeting? And I do go on. And it's really a very serious problem still, especially in the Middle East. And I think that the reason is because there's a strong backlash.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's listen to the Peaches remix of Kiss, 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 which was originally on your 1980 album with John Lennon, Double Fantasy. Kiss, 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 you and Peaches. What do you think of her version?
I think it's great. What I did then was kind of pretty good then, but I think that this is newer. It's very nice. Yeah.
That record of remixes is called Yes, I'm a Witch.
Yes.
Which makes me think you have a good sense of humor about the crap and flack you've taken over the years.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like saying, yes, I'm a witch, you know, because they were really trying to persecute me and put me on a cross. So I said, well, okay, so I am a witch.
Your art installation piece called Wish Tree has now been shown at galleries all over the world. Tell me about that.
Wish Tree is just a tree, and you just write your wish and put it on the tree, you see. And it's a pretty strange...
In Japan, I've seen that.
Yes. Yeah. When you go to a temple and you pay 10 yen, you get a little paper that says, love will be given to you, money will be given to you, and long life will be given to you or something. And it's all printed, you know. And you take that and you just put it on the bush. Now, I thought it's much nicer. It's a huge, beautiful tree, and you're free of what you want to write. And once when I did in Spain... All these people of that town who never been to a museum before would never enter a museum because they think, oh, it's something
fancy. You
know. Yeah. And all the sort of working class people all lined up to put the wishes on the tree. And that's when I created the Imagine Peace Star. And all the wishes go to the Imagine Peace Star.
So they're not just tossed out?
No. They're not tossed out.
On Between My Head and the Sky, there are some dance songs, but most of the music is pretty thoughtful and low-key. I want to play an example. This is called Unanto.
Unanto, yes.
Let's listen.
In a day, sometimes I feel so much love for the world. Think my heart is bursting. Sometimes I feel so scared. I want to shrink myself even further. Don't ever give up on life. Life can be so beautiful, especially after you've spent a lot of years with it. Because then, life becomes like a lover you have been close to. You know him so well, and yet every day he gives you a surprise. When you say, I love you, remember you're not just saying it to the one you love. You're saying to yourself, the planet, and the universe.
That's a very lovely and wise lyric. Tell me where that song came from.
Just between my head and the sky.
Yeah? out of your hat.
Out of my hat, right. Unto. Unto.
And what are you working on right now?
I'm now working on talking to you.
I appreciate that. Yoko Ono, thank you very much.
It was nice talking to you.
Yoko Ono, One Woman Show, 1960 to 1971, is up at New York's Museum of Modern Art through September.